Also, during this month, normally during the Easter season, the resurrection month, we usually take missions offering. And it goes normally to our North American Mission Board. But if you have special gifts, we're going to keep that in the Northwest this year. I don't know if you're aware of it. There are 13 different belts in the United States. There are, not all of them are listed. There's one's called the Stroke Belt. I don't want to live there. One's called the Rust Belt. You are familiar with the Bible Belt, the Sun Belt. Do you know what belt we live in? The Unchurched Belt. Washington, Oregon, Nevada, and Alaska are in that belt. So we're going to be, or do you say Nevada? I'm not sure how y'all say it. Is it Nevada? Okay. So we're going to keep that money in the Northwest because I think we can do more. There's more people that need to be reached in the Northwest than perhaps in the Bible Belt, right? Maybe. So anyway, we're going to, if you give to the missions this month, we're going to be keeping that in the Northwest so that we can generate a Christ in these areas where people are unchurched. I believe that that will not always be the case. I believe that God's going to send revival to the unchurched belt. And we might become the Bible Belt. Wouldn't that change a lot of things? Amen. This will become the Bible Belt. So, I hope you've had a good week. I've been pondering over, of course, you know, we celebrated the resurrection last week. A few days prior to that, we looked at the crucifixion. And, you know, as you look at that, it's just astounding what God did for us. It's just amazing the love that he poured out, the grace that he poured out upon us. It's just amazing that God would do those kind of things. And that there were eyewitnesses at that crucifixion. There were eyewitnesses to the resurrection and also the prophecies, Old Testament prophecies that just kind of accentuated what was taking place. And God just did some remarkable things. Even the prophets didn't realize what was going to be taking place at that time. And I am so grateful to the Lord for his sacrifice. And because of his great love, because of his sacrifice, I want to live for him. My desire is to please him. Did you know that we can give God pleasure? I've been reading a book. Doug Edwards wrote a book. Doug is at First Christian Church. He's like the assistant pastor. He wrote a book that's called Good Pleasure. And as I was reading it, there were some things that just kind of dropped into my heart. And part of what I'm going to be sharing with you is what Doug shared in his book today, because it's really, really profound. Doug's heart is to give God pleasure. That's Doug's heart. If you know him, that's his heart. And so, anyway, it's part of what I'll be sharing with you this morning is what I've gotten out of his book. But mostly, it was just some ideas. I don't know about. Well, I probably knew you. You're probably the same as I am. I read something, and maybe the author doesn't mention it, but then the Holy Spirit drops things into my heart that's like, oh, man, I like that. And so much of what I'll be sharing with you is what the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart as I was reading Doug's book. So do you know who Enoch was? Enoch was one of the only two people. It seems I'm going in and out here. And I don't know what's going on. So Enoch was one of the only two people in history who didn't die. One was Enoch, and Scripture says that he walked with God. We'll look at that in a minute. But says he walked with God, and then he was not because God took him. But then, yeah, we'll change the battery. But then there's another guy. Do you know who the other guy was? The other guy's name's Elijah. And he went up in a whirlwind. And, you know, people looked for him, couldn't find him. The prophets did. It's like, you know, where did he go? Well, Enoch, in Genesis chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Scripture says, Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. The writer of Hebrews shares a little more commentary on this passage of Scripture. And what he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. He was known as a person who pleased God. So as I was reading this, two questions arose in my mind. One is, what would people place on your headstone? Now, if Enoch had died, and he didn't, and if he had a headstone, which he doesn't, he didn't even have a burial plot. Or maybe he did, but he didn't use it. His headstone over it, this is a man who pleased God. That would be on his headstone. Of course, he didn't have a headstone. But I'm wondering, what are people going to say about me? What's going to be on my headstone when I pass away? But to his family members, to his acquaintances, to the people at the grocery store, everybody, Enoch was known as a man who pleased God. Everybody knew, oh, there's me, Enoch. He's a man who pleases God. Everybody knew him as that. The second question that came to mind is this. What does a person need to do to please God? So this is at least a two-part series. And so today we're going to get started in it, because I believe you're here today because you want to please God. Okay? Now, a lot of people don't want to know what they can do to please God. What they want to know is how far can they push the boundaries before God gets upset. Right? Can I do this? Is it okay if I do this? Is it okay? Listen, if you have to ask the question, you're probably already past the boundary. Okay? So that's a lot of people want to know how far can they push before God's not okay with it. That was not where Enoch was. Enoch was, what can I do to please God? You know, after reading Doug's book, I began praying every morning, Lord, I just want to live today to please you. I want the choices that I make to please you. I think that was Enoch's prayer. Lord, I just want to please you. And Scripture said that he walked with God. So every day he was walking with God. Every day, we would call it walking in the Spirit. Okay, but every day Enoch was walking with God, and one day God says to Enoch, Enoch, it's closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come on and be with me? And so Enoch said, okay, I'm good with that. And so Enoch was not. Enoch disappeared because God took him on to heaven. Wouldn't that be nice to have that kind of relationship with Father? That would be awesome. So, I made a comment a few weeks ago in my message that children want to please their dad. And they want to hear the words, son, I'm proud of you. Daughter, I'm so pleased with you. I love you so much. I couldn't be more delighted in you. And that's what we want to do. Our Father in heaven wants to be able to convey those messages to us as well. You know, some people would say, well, God is so far beyond our reach that he is he's kind of oblivious to the things that we do. He's kind of out of the picture, and he doesn't really mind have anything in mind about what we do. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. Scripture says that God has numbered our hair, and he didn't have to number mine very far, or Mike's. But he said, or Larry's, or John's, but he says that God knows us so very well that he has numbered the hair of our head. He knows when one falls out. So God loves us. He's more intent on knowing us than we are on knowing him. So what would it look in your life to bring pleasure to the Father? What would you have to change in your life in order for the Father to be pleased with you? So that's the kind of where we're going in this short series. Listen to this. In Hebrews 11:6, we talked about in Hebrews 11:5 it was by faith Enoch was taken to heaven. He was known as a person who pleased God. But in verse 6, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So we find in this passage that faith is needed to please God. If you don't have faith, you cannot please God. As a matter of fact, this passage says it pleases God when you believe he exists. You know, there's a lot of people who don't believe God exists. Now, you probably have run into them. They call themselves atheists. They don't believe God exists. I don't know what it takes for a person to not believe that there's a God, because the heavens declare his glory. Creation declares his existence. All creation declares that there is a God above. You would have to be a fool to say there is no God. And you say, Pastor, you shouldn't say fool. Well, listen to Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So God says, if you want to please me, at least believe that I exist. How many of you believe God exists? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, that pleases Father, that you believe he exists. But he wants to go a step further. There's a lot of people who believe God exists, but he also says it pleases God even more when we sincerely seek him. It says when we do that, God rewards us. Some of you are just now beginning your search for God. Praise the Lord. And he says, if you keep on searching, you will be rewarded. And Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and all those who diligently seek me will find me. That's a promise. So if you're kind of in that beginning stages of seeking God, then I want to encourage you, keep on seeking, because God said, if you seek me with all your heart, not half-hearted, but if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Let's just say that you misplaced $1,000. you know, some of it may have misplaced $10, maybe not a big deal. But let's just say you misplaced $1,000. What would you do if you misplaced $1,000? Cry. Pray. Look for it. You'd turn over every leaf. What'd you say, Michael? So, I'll pull your hair out on your beard. But we would turn over every leaf. We would go through our car. We would go through our cabinets. We'd go through everything we could find, do in order to find the $1,000 that you misplaced. Okay. I know about, you know, for most of us, $1,000 is a lot of money. Okay. And we would be turning our house upside down to find that $1,000. That's right. Yeah, Nancy lost her diamond out of a ring last week when she was playing the drums. And it was a pretty substantial loss. And they turned things upside down looking for it. I thought it might be in the baptistry. We had baptism, and I was going to look in the baptistry, but lo and behold, they found the diamond. Praise the Lord. And Scripture says, God says, if you seek me diligently, like a lost diamond, you'll find me. You will be rewarded. You will be rewarded exceedingly. If you seek me, you will find me. Don't just seek me for a few minutes. But I mean, put your heart into it, right? Put your heart into it. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. And actually, in my case, it was, I sought him and he found me. He found me. That's a promise from God. I love those who love me, and I will reveal myself to you if you seek me diligently with all your heart. Now, here's a wonderful passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It talks about God having good pleasure. And he says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. Say good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So number two, it pleased God greatly to put into place the mysterious plan of Christ being our Redeemer. You remember last week when we were talking about the Lord's Supper, and Jesus said to his disciples, I have greatly desired to spend this time with you, greatly desired to have this last supper with you. That's been my great desire. I've been looking forward to this, and you know, in our minds, it's like, oh no, God, Jesus knew what was coming next. But what was taking place is that he was inaugurating, he was putting in place the plan that God had orchestrated from the beginning of time. The plan to redeem you. And God said, gives me great pleasure to put this plan in place. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this plan was like thousands and thousands of years in the making. And Father and Jesus were kind of like sitting on the edge of their seats, like, man, let's get this plan going. And finally, at the opportune time, just when the time was right, the plan was inaugurated. And because of that, you and I have redemption through Jesus Christ. And God said, that is my good pleasure. That was my good pleasure to put this plan in place. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. Acts 3, 19 and 20. Listen. Scripture teaches us that all of us are sinners. Okay? Now, some people don't like that term. Some people don't like to be called a sinner. Some people don't like to be caught in their sin. But Scripture teaches that all are sinners. And did you know in order to be forgiven of your sin, you have to first repent and ask forgiveness? You have to own it. If you deny it, if you justify it, if you blame somebody else, that doesn't get you off the hook, right? But when you repent and ask forgiveness, that gets you off the hook. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Look at this passage of Scripture in Acts 3, 19 and 20. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Say, wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. So listen, repentance has to come before Jesus can enter your heart. It has to. It has to. John the Baptist preached repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the first messages Jesus preached was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was just echoing what John the Baptist said. One of the things, and I want you to, if you ever watch television pastors, preachers, very seldom will they call you to repentance. Most often, they will say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer after me. Receive Christ. But there's very seldom one who will say you need to repent of your sins. But there's no salvation without repentance. No salvation without repentance. We have to admit that we're sick before we ever go to see the doctor, right? Well, the doctor may prescribe some things for us, but and they may even send to the pharmacy and say you need to take these medications, but unless you think you're sick, you're never going to pick those medications up. And unless you trust your doctor, you're not going to take those medications, right? So it's same with us. We have to, God says that all of us are sinners and we need to repent of our sins. And let me just share this with you. There is no sin too black God can't forgive. There's no sin so horrible that God won't forgive. And you may be sitting here today and say, well, I just don't deserve it because look at my life. But are you going to believe what you say, or are you going to believe what God says? God says, I will forgive you when you repent and call upon my name. That's what he says. I'm just echoing what he said. We have to admit we're sick. So God was very pleased to enact the plan because it brings multitudes into his family. In Luke chapter 15, is that Romans next one? Or okay, let's go to Romans then. I got some in my notes out of sequence. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whoever, are you a whoever? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We Christians use the word saved. Now, for people who are not believers, sometimes that word is hard to understand in the context of Christianity. But I want you to understand what that word means and how effective it is in your life. Saved is a word we use to describe someone who has, let's just say they're drowning, and they are rescued from that. Or someone in a burning building, and someone goes in and begins to rescue them from a burning building. We say that they're saved. One who escapes sin's judgment and receives the rewards of heaven, we say they are saved. And did you know that it brings God great pleasure to save you? It brings God great pleasure to save you because he loves you and wants you in his family. Look at this word. I don't normally use the Greek, but I think it's helpful, and sometimes we understand what in the Greek this word means. So the word means, it's called sozo, and it means to heal, healing, recover, save, saving, whole, holy, and wholesome. That's what the word saved means. So when you're talking about being saved, then this is what it's talking about in our English understanding. Okay, we say the word saved and we think spiritual, but it goes beyond just the spiritual. It goes to the mental, it goes to the soul, it goes to the physical. It goes to a lot of different areas in our life. Okay, so when we receive Christ, heaven becomes our home, but there's so much beyond that. That's why it gives Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look at Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, say good pleasure, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Father gets great pleasure by giving you the kingdom. God is ecstatic when you receive the gift he has given you, the gift of Jesus Christ. God is ecstatic when you receive his forgiveness and his salvation. Father is ecstatic when you quit rejecting Jesus Christ, when you quit rejecting the gift that God gives you. Let's just say you had someone you loved greatly. Let's just say you were men that you found someone you wanted to marry. And you bought her a diamond ring, $50,000. Ooh. Okay. And you offered that ring to her. And she rejected you. She did not take the ring. Because by taking the ring, you're entering into relationship. Okay? Good question. So, men, would that make you kind of disheartened if she rejected you? You know, some ladies may take the ring and say, you know, for the money, I'll join in this relationship, but their heart's not really in it. So the gift that God's offering you is greater than a $15,000 ring. Okay? Value can't be placed on it. And he says, I'm offering you a gift. I'm offering you a gift of eternal life. You can either accept it or reject it. But if you accept it, you're entering in relationship with me. And that brings me great pleasure. Did you know that you can give God great pleasure just by entering into relationship with Him? It's phenomenal that we, as human beings, can give God pleasure just by entering into relationship with Him. But He says, in order to do that, number one, you have to realize you're a sinner and be willing to turn from your sin, be willing to repent of your sin, be willing to ask God to forgive you, and then receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So I want to ask you a question. Do you want your sin or do you want salvation? Do you want heaven or do you want hell? You want relationship with God or eternally separated from Him? God offers you a gift. If you receive it, you bring Him great pleasure. Father, I come before you this evening or this morning. Just want to thank you for love and your mercy. Lord, we don't have the words to convey our gratitude, our thanksgiving for your gracious, marvelous gift. Lord, I pray today that you would just work in our hearts, that you'd bring us into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here who is seeking after you, but today they would turn from sin and they would turn to you. Because there's no other name given among men whereby man must be saved except Jesus Christ. Sure. But no one else. And so, Lord, I'm asking you just to work in our lives, address the issues in our heart. Help us to see the folly of our ways and run to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand again. And I'm going to invite you to do two things this morning. Number one, I'm going to ask Matt if you would come and stand at the front. I'm not going to receive anyone because I love you. But if you would like to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and I want you to come and I want you to talk to Matt. The second thing is, would you, in the morning, tell Father, Lord, I just want to live this day to please you. Show me what to do that I might please you. Not anyone else. Not my children. Not my mama, not my daddy, but you. Lord, what can I do to please you today? Let's see.